Hey everyone, welcome to More Than Mises Guys. This week we are continuing in our pursuit of Psykill and the Gobots and the history of Gobotron. And I'm here with my old friend and Gobot fanaticist, Boo.
Hey, howdy.
So I gotta say, everyone,
I don't know if I'm a fanaticist, but I mean, I love some Gobots, but I mean,
I enjoy them. And so there's, again, thing is, we're fanatical about certain things. I actually have I really had a nice, I don't know, coming around to enjoying things again with Gobots. But I gotta say, speaking of enjoying things with Gobots, I gotta really reach out to the I Love Gobots Facebook group, and especially one of the moderators, Jacqueline Adams, who goes by Crasher 1982. Check out her channel, by the way, Crasher 1982 on YouTube.
That's a
Like,
great group. That's a
yeah,
very
it's,
good
it's
group.
actually it's really positive. We're old Transformers, fan base people, and there's a lot of I don't know. I don't know if it's division or
It's
divisiveness.
factioning. I mean, Transformers
Yeah.
is all about the factions.
But I like the fact that Gobots are just the people who are Gobot fans are happy to have it discussed and are happy to have, you know, and I guess happy to be seen, I guess is a good way to put it.
Well, Gobots fans, I have found, are some of the friendliest fans out, on the internet.
Yeah. And Jacqueline Adams, who was Crusher 1982, reached out to me and said as much. I think she's extremely happy to have discussion on the, I guess the personality and the motivations of the character Crasher, her favorite character. And honestly, we have a lot of that with Gobots. There's a lot of stuff compiled into a 22-minute episode. More than
They
I
dive into the
remember.
characters really well,
They
and I
really
mean,
do.
Crasher's an easy one to love.
Yeah.
She's probably one of the richest characters in the whole series.
And like you said before, they do a good job of really centering on the main three characters of each side. So Crasher and Copter, it looks like they have a nice camaraderie.
Yeah.
Where Psykill is, Psykill left her behind twice during the opening miniseries. But her and Copter are like, they're like, I don't know if they're comrades as much as the fact that they know that they have each other and that's it.
They have like a brother-sister dynamic.
Really, they do. That's kind of what I was kind of hinting at. That's a good way to put it.
And well, even in the previous miniseries, like when they would leave Crasher behind, when Psykill would force it, Copter didn't look happy about it.
No, he was not at all happy about it. Copter was I don't know, like Copter and Crasher is seen as like kind of a crazy character, but I don't think she's as crazy as people like to say. I think she's more pragmatic, but she's a little I wouldn't say, what are you saying?
Oh, I was saying, I don't think she's crazy as much as she embraces chaos.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
And I
Chaos.
mean, chaos can be a force for change.
And that's exactly what the Renegades are trying to do. So,
right, she's a revolutionary, so of course she's going to embrace change, and people are going to see her as crazy.
Yeah.
But she's willing to do what's extreme to, push their agenda.
And actually, that's a lot of what Jacqueline Adams was telling me, like, she was asking me like what I like about the character Crasher, and yeah, I think honestly, Crasher has a lot of she has a lot of skin in the game. Rather than she's not just ambitious to be ambitious, she's doing it because she thinks it's the right thing. Copter is the same way. Psykill, I think honestly at this point is a lot of ambition.
Yeah, he's ambition, and they're willing to back him up, and they'll even take lumps for him. Like they adore Psykill.
Yeah, exactly.
Even though, it's kind of a one-way street sometimes.
Yeah, very much so.
He'll give them, head pats, every once in a while. Usually when he's done them wrong and they show back up.
Yeah.
But, they believe in the cause, so they take it. And it's like they knew what they were signing up for, so they don't hold it against him.
Yeah, and it's kind of, it's almost like an abusive relationship in a way. So, but yeah, let's get into this episode, man. We see Hans Cuff dive, and who's the other guardian?
No, it was Flip Top and Blaster.
Oh, Flip Top and Blaster. Okay, dive must be the other color of that sub.
Well, we just haven't seen Dive yet, but yeah.
So we see the
But
walk-in. They
Blaster has a color change now.
the
In the
green.
miniseries, he was orange. Yeah, now he's green.
That's why, maybe that's why it threw me off there. I was like trying to figure out who it was. I can't remember the name because a lot of the GoBots had recolors and change names, obviously, just like they do with any other any sort of like toy line. You do a recolor or you do whatever else, and yeah, you have a name change, different character. But they walk up to Psykill's cell, and he is full of, I don't know, piss and vinegar.
Oh yeah, he's razzing them, and this is on Gobatron's prison moon. Yeah, we find out they have an entire prison moon. You're not imprisoned on Gobatron, you go to the prison moon.
I love that too, because once again we see that the Guardians aren't really, they're not Captain America, they're not Lily White. They're a little, they have their, the dark sides, and this is a good, representation of that.
Well, and in their prison moon, it's like everyone's in solitary. There's no like gen pop. You stay in your cell, and that's
100%.
it.
But
And yeah, so they go to bring Psykill out because they're being marched to trial, which, following the miniseries, they said they were going to go track down Psykill. He was the only renegade we knew that wasn't captured. And apparently they captured him. So here he
yeah.
is.
Oh, so real quick for everyone, Boo got me to watch these runs of episodes because they really belonged after the original mini series, but the way the show premiered was very different. Like this should have been earlier in the series, but as it was, I think it's towards the end, right?
Yeah, it's in the early 40s, early to mid 40s in the series, like episode 42 to 46, I believe.
So we have, kind of the aftermath from the original miniseries, the aftermath from the final conflict.
Yes.
And
So,
so
and
yeah,
you'll see introductions of characters too, that
okay, cool.
if you watched it in the air date order, it would have seemed weird for him to introduce them now when you've been seeing them in episodes the whole time.
Okay, yeah, like for instance, like I noticed Littlefoot being introduced in this.
Oh, Smallfoot, yeah.
Smallfoot, sorry, not, yeah. Oh God, I'm thinking Littlefoot from Land Before Time. Yeah,
Yeah,
Smallfoot.
that's a dinosaur.
I
It's a
know.
baby
I know.
dinosaur.
So yeah, man, they kind of razz him and he's like, you've taken my weapons, but not my wheels. And he spins his wheels.
And he points, well, the yellow rectangle in the center of his chest is empty. So it points out that that's like where his power source for his weapons was.
And that's also the same place for Vitor, who we'll see in a second.
So yeah, he pops off his wheels or one of the and throws it like a weapon and hits Blaster.
Which,
And makes
was
him
like,
misfire.
yeah, which, I mean, his wheels were weapons. I mean, that's the toy alone tells us that because they attach to his arms and, the way they're set up, yeah, they're definitely his weapons.
Yeah, he went for like a, I mean, what is that, a ranged melee attack rather than the energy attack?
Was it the what was the thing that Xena used? It Kukri?
Oh,
No, not
the,
Kukri.
was it a chakra or something like
Chakra.
that?
Yeah,
Something like
chakra.
that. Or I was thinking more of the glaive from Krull.
Kroll. As Tim from our Discord pointed out, you're either a Kroll person, a Dragon Slayer person, maybe a Lady Hawk person. Personally, I was a Dragon Slayer person.
Oh yeah, Dragon Slayer was great.
Oh, it's fantastic. So yeah, there's also a little thing about, they're talking about Lady Hawk, and I like Lady Hawk. On Rutger Hauer's fantastic, but Lady Hawk always kind of seemed like my mom's fantasy movie.
It was a more romantic fantasy movie,
Yeah, exactly. But
which, Dragon Slayer was great because I mean, even the dragon name, was it Vermithrax?
I think something like that. Yeah, I loved
Yeah,
how
that
the
was cool.
Building the shield out of the dragon scales.
Yeah, it was clever. And I mean the effects in that still hold up really well.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, we actually watched that a few years back. I got
Just
to
want to
see
see
it in
it.
the theater at like Alamo Draft House. I want to
Oh,
say, whew,
nice.
man, that was like 20 years ago now. Ugh. But yeah, it was cool to see it in the theater though. It was like on like one of their weird Wednesday nights.
Nice. That's actually really
And
cool.
yeah, because they had like weird Wednesdays and they show oddball movies like that. Like we watched Sword and Soul Sorcerer, we watched Krull again there. And then like they have Trauma Thursdays and they show like Toxic
Oh.
Avenger movies and Nuke 'Em High and stuff like
Oh,
that.
so
So
good.
yeah.
Man, the
So
Sword and the Sorcerer is like when they had that that sword that shot blades.
yeah, the three-bladed sword.
Yeah. You'd hit a button and like have a like a it looked like a model rocket shooting off a blade at
Yeah, it was like it had
someone.
a pneumatic launch
Yeah.
mechanism or something. Yeah, that was weird. I like it. Richard Mull, though, was like the monster in that.
Was he really?
Yeah,
Okay.
that was one of his early roles. He always did like monster roles and stuff early before he did Night Court. So,
That's actually I can see it checking out really well for Bull from Night Court.
oh, yeah. You could tell he had fun with that stuff, too.
Oh yeah, totally.
Yeah, who wouldn't? You get to
He
be
had
a big
fun as
scary monster.
Bull.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of appreciate that a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, so
Whew. Back
anyways,
to
we're
GoBots.
back to GoBots. Like Psykill's destruction with the wheels basically frees Phytor.
Yeah, well, when he hits Blaster, Blaster misfires his rocket and
That's
blows
what
a
it
hole in
is.
the wall. And then Phytor's like, thank you, and just comes on out and backs up Psykill.
Yeah,
And
he
man, he totally, subdues Hans Cuff.
pulls his power pack.
Yeah, and then plugs it in himself. So it's modular. They can use each other's power packs.
I guess there's I guess it's basically like a almost I would say a cube like a not like a, quite like a Energon cube but like almost like a little I don't know a plug so much. It kind of reminds me of do you remember the N64 controllers? They had these little like save cartridge things on the bottom.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
They
kind of like
had that's where power packs went, wasn't
yeah,
it? And the rumble packs
yep.
and the yeah.
It kind of like that except glowing yellow.
Yeah, you could put the memory cards in there
Yeah.
too. The memory pack, I guess. But yeah, it was cool that he stole Hans Cuff and just plugged it in himself and he instantly got weapons.
Yep. Which kind of makes me wonder if they were just, it wasn't that they had the weapons disabled, that they just kept them lower powered so they couldn't use weapons.
Right, and that's what it seems like it was. It was the that's where the energy weapons feed from, and they
Yeah.
just disabled that.
Yeah. So. Then we jump over to General Liu Castle has the humans going as emissaries to the prison moon.
Right, we see Nick and Matt wearing their, I guess, their dress blues.
I guess so. They look like I don't know, they're like very royal blue and red versions of kind of actually kind of reminded me of the what the uniforms that they wore in Star Trek two. With the, like the fold over piece on the chest. Except it's very royal blue and very red.
I tell you what it reminded me of. I mean, it's recolored, but it looks very similar to what the EDC wears in season 3 of Transformers.
I can see that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you made it white with like blue trim, it looked very similar.
Yeah, I can see that actually. It was very ostentatious,
Yes.
to say the least. And they're like they're I think it's a Nick and Matt are talking, they make a joke about women taking forever to get ready, and AJ's like, hey, look, dude, I'm ready. Waiting on
Oh
you
yeah,
guys.
they took that chauvinist trope and then
Yeah.
turned it on its head.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about? I'm ready.
I've been waiting ready for a while, y'all. Where you been? And they go to the yeah, I there was this is the point where it's the point where Scooter's asking, trying to call the prison moon, asking, trying to get a like a response, not getting anything at all. So they're kind of like, suspicious something's going on there. And they bring in the Guardian Command Center into it's a huge freaking bay. What do they land there generally? Because that the command center is I thought it was pretty big.
It looked command center shaped. So
Yeah.
I'm thinking, command centers, park it.
Yeah, it looked a really, like a really big command center shape.
And they said they've been transporting, captured renegades there. So I guess, if that's not just specifically for that command center, maybe
Maybe they have
there's
a
other command centers. Dun, dun, dun.
guardian or command center El Grande.
Yes.
So but
They
yeah,
gave him
we're
plenty of wiggle room there.
yeah, definitely so.
And then, yeah, as they're, landing there, there's a little animation error because Pathfinder is missing her wings.
I was wondering about that. I kind of I saw the her sitting in the chair, but it looked like, I don't know. I was like, what, maybe they're kind of folded down or something, but no, they just it doesn't have wings. Okay.
Yeah, because you see later in the episode, she's in the chair again and she has the wings on. They just didn't animate the wings.
Honestly, how solid and how crisp the animation is, it's a small thing.
Right, it's barely noticeable.
Yeah,
It blink and you miss it.
well, that's my thing. My mind actually excused it away in a certain way, so kind of works
So,
out.
and we find out that on the surface of the dark side of the prison moon is like sub-freezing, like it's cold.
Oh yeah, Psykill leads Phytor down the hallway, and Phytor basically he objects to the idea that Psykill's opening the panel to go into the dark side.
Yeah, because he's like, it's going to freeze us. And apparently they traveled really far. That
Yeah.
corridor, it went a long way. It just, they cut to the chase. They only have 22 minutes, so.
They took the
Right.
expressway.
Yeah, they use the HOV lane there.
Yeah.
But
He's
yeah, it's
bragging.
really cold over there. And we find out that Psykill has a ship hidden over there.
He's like Beast Wars Megatron. He has hidden a ship just in case they need to escape.
Yeah, he's like, it's probably inevitable they're gonna lock him up eventually. So he has a ship hidden there.
And it's not like a fast, great ship. It looks like a it kind of looks like a mini version of Thruster, except
Yeah.
it's a junker
It's
or
like
an
a
engine.
small like cargo ship. It's
Yeah.
basically like an Amazon van.
Oh,
And yeah, and Fyodor comments on it. He's like, "Yeah, I'm not real confident in this vehicle." He's like, "Really, that?" He's like,
yeah. And but we also we go to a ship that's flying through space with a, it looks like it's trapped. It looks like a hammerhead shark ship trapped within an asteroid.
Yes, that's the Rogue Star.
Okay, the Rogue Star.
And
Cool.
yeah, and it's at this point it's still being completed.
Okay.
Okay. And see, this is where, the continuity issues would run into trouble because in many of the episodes that came before this, Rogue Star is fully functional and everybody's on board.
Okay.
And you see, at this point, this is the introduction of the Rogue Star, and it's showing them, you still see there's like holes in the hull where they're still building it and
Yeah.
everything.
It's a cool looking
And
ship.
yeah, it's very cool. Yeah, that hammerhead shark design is really
Yeah.
cool. I could have seen that like, if it was in Transformers, it would have shown up like in Beast Wars 2 or something. That would have been a really
Yeah.
cool ship in that.
Actually, it's very appropriate.
Yeah. And in charge of Rogue Star's construction over there, it looks like it's Dr. Go, aka Herr Fiend.
Her fiend?
Yes.
Yeah. With his
And I
one
did.
monocle eye.
Yes. And I did a little research into him, and it turned out Dr. Go was like the working name for him.
Really?
So it's
Okay.
not like they changed it from Herr Fiend to Dr. Go. It's that was the name they were working with anyway, and then later it became Herr Fiend.
So, Dr. Go with the GoBots?
Yeah. And it's a play on Dr. No.
Yeah, I figured as much, which is
Yeah.
why he had the monocle. Dr. No had the monocle in the James Bond
Right. So they're going
movie.
for like the whole like Bond villain, and he fits that really well.
Oh yeah, it's completely.
And he and Bad Boy are using the Astro Beam to send a stealth device
That's who it
to
is, Bad
Psykill and
Boy.
Fighter. Yeah, it's Bad Boy.
Okay.
So here's some interesting information about our voice actors.
Okay.
Dr. Go is voiced by Philip L. Clark, who you may know recently because he was in the Key to Vector Sigma two-parter.
Ryan Pax?
No, not Wardon.
Oh God, I'm
The
sorry.
Key
I'm
to
gonna
Vector
get
Sigma.
anything.
He's your favorite Stunicon.
Is he dark? God, Why am I blanking on his name? Dead End.
He's Dead End.
Oh God, I love Dead End so much.
They
Okay.
both turn into Porsche 928s.
Nice.
Both of them, yeah. And he also did the voices for Tantrum, the Predacon, Victor
Okay.
Drath, you know, the gangster that has synthoids,
Oh yes.
and infamously Abdul Fakati
Of Carbamia?
of Carbamia.
I'm so sorry, Casey Kasem. Yeah.
And on GoBots, he does the voice of Torque on here. But interestingly enough, with doing Dr. Go, which is a Dr. No
Yeah.
spoof, he did the James Bond spoof character on G.I. Joe, Matthew Burke.
I don't remember the character. I gotta look back and watch that.
He was just like a James Bond Remington Steele type guy. He was in his
Remington
tuxedo.
Steele.
Yeah, I mean, you watch that episode, look up Matthew Burke, and you'll see. Yeah, he's the James Bond parody on G.I. Joe.
Nice.
Okay, and Bad Boy was voiced by Daryl Hickman, who was a prolific character actor whose career ranged from like 1936 to 1999. He appeared in 1940s The Grapes of Wrath alongside Henry Fonda and John Carradine.
I've got to watch that at some point. I really like Steinbeck, and I have that book somewhere. I've never finished it.
Yeah.
Definitely watch that.
He was in a lot of television roles, especially like westerns and sitcoms.
That makes sense. Certain
He
time.
did like Alfred Hitchcock Presents stuff and like that.
Nice.
He had a recurring role as Davy Gillis on The Many Loves of Dobie Gillis.
Oh, wow. Really?
It's his younger brother in real life played
Wow.
Dobie Gillis. So
Wow.
he was Dobie Gillis's brother in real life too. He did a
Nice.
lot of Hanna-Barbera voice work later in his career, leading to his roles on Challenge of the GoBots, where he also played Hornet and Marbles. You'll run into them later in the series.
Okay.
And then he also provided the voice of Rhodey on Pole Position, one of the
Oh,
AI cars.
yeah, I was gonna say the AI in the car. Okay, cool.
Yeah, they had the
Nice.
faces like the toys of Ironhide and Ratchet.
Yeah. Stickers, you mean?
Yeah. So yeah, that's we've got two, you know, pretty important voice actors here, so
That's really cool.
yeah.
I really like the Dr. Go voice.
Oh yeah, it's good. He's a fun character.
Yeah.
And in some ways, and you don't see it here, but you'll see later, he kind of reminded me of Dr. Smith from like Lost in Space.
Nice. I can't wait to see that.
Because he's not a tough guy.
No.
Yeah. I
Opportunistic.
believe there's even a one time he actually gets owned by Scooter.
As our friend Jacqueline Adams says, Scooter just fights in different ways.
Yeah. And but we'll see. But yeah, Dr. Go is he's not a lover or a fighter, he's a thinker.
Well, he is a doctor.
And he's kind of the main brain power in the Renegades.
Ooh.
Which you notice he wasn't caught.
True.
So
And he was
he's
constructing the what was it, the what was it, the Dark Star?
the Rogue Star.
Rogue Star, thank you.
Yeah, which you know, he's been busy. He and Bad Boy have been busy over there. So,
Yeah, sure. So,
and
I
see,
mean, I
that's
can't.
another one of Psy-Kill's, you know, plans that he's got going that, you know, no one was aware of, that certainly didn't get shut down by the Guardians.
So, Psy-Kill is actually very Beast Wars Megatron.
Oh, very much.
He's got a lot of plans going on. He's got a lot of schemes brewing all the time, and he is not above selling out everyone who's helping him to get
Oh,
away.
yeah. Everyone is disposable except for him.
God, he is Beast Wars Megatron. It's actually kind of a great way to look at it now.
You know that their voices are kind of, so they've got that very baritone aristocratic voice.
Yes. Oh yeah, God. Yeah, this could actually be a way for Transformers fans to accept more be of our GoBots.
Man, I mean, if they do a revival of GoBots, they need to get David Kaye to do Psy-Kill.
Oh my God, that'd be great.
I bet he'd kill it.
Oh, he would. Oh, he kills it
He
anyways.
kills anyway, but you know it. That would be perfect.
Yeah, a friend of the show, by the way, David Kaye, who we had on the interview a while back. Please go look it up on YouTube and on our audio podcast. He's a fantastic person. I got to take a nice picture with him. With it was him and the voice actor for Squidward. He, by the
Oh,
way, he
Roger Bumpus.
Bumpus, yeah.
Yeah.
He is a huge fan of Roger Bumpus.
Oh yeah, that guy's great. He was in heavy metal also.
Yes, he was. But yeah, so I was sitting up there talking to them and stuff, and David Kaye's like, I am such a fan. And I look over, Roger Bumpus is like, really? He's, yeah. Can I take a picture with you? He goes, yeah, sure. And after they were done taking a picture, I go, can I take a picture with both y'all? So they're like, yeah, totally. That's great. Yeah, they're good people. It's always nice whenever you meet someone who you appreciate as far as professionally, and they are as good as you hope they are. David Kaye, Roger Bumpus, top people.
Oh,
So,
yeah.
yeah. Anyways, back to the episode.
Yes.
Yeah. So, by the way, we completely skipped over Littlefoot show, or God, Littlefoot, Smallfoot showing up.
Yeah,
I'm
so
gonna. I typed as Littlefoot, by the way.
you were just really channeling Land Before Time.
Yeah, I was, and also today on the I Love GoBots page, I think it's like that one. Someone had posted they picked up a boxed version of Smallfoot, which
Oh,
says
nice.
friendly 4x4 truck or something like that. Which that's actually how they package the Guardians and Renegades. Guardians were
Right.
always friendly. Renegades were evil or
Enemy, I think.
enemy, that's right.
Yeah.
Which really, I don't know, that's kind of a that's really I don't know, whitewashing of the eccentricities of the different characters.
Well, maybe it meant like, like friendly fire friendly, like friendly, they're on your side. Enemy is obviously the enemy.
Apparently we all are guardians except when we don't want to be.
Right.
So yeah, but right back to
Maybe they
Crasher
just
and
meant it to Earth in general.
yeah, I could see that. Copter and Crasher are trying to get out of the prison complex because there's been a power surge issue, and
Well, Psy-Kill caused that.
yeah, he did when he
Yeah.
tried when he was what was he doing exactly
Well,
when
you're
he...
getting a little ahead there because
Oh,
first Turbo shows up.
that's right. He
Yeah.
crawls through the little escape hatch to the
Yeah, he
side.
follows them. They left the door open. All they had to do was close the door. He never would have known they were there.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, but
I guess they didn't have much time to waste in the cold up there,
yeah,
so.
if Idor makes a point of that early on, that it's really cold in his
He was actually shivering.
yeah,
They
which
actually animated that pretty well.
it gives you a nice I guess preview of what's coming in a way.
Right. And then the stealth device appears through the astro beam. Like
That's
Dr.
right.
Go got dropped it right in their laps. They didn't have to go on a quest where it's 2 miles off. He almost set it right on top of the ship. Like it's right next to it.
Dr. Go is like is clutch right here.
He's competent, yeah.
Yeah.
So as they're loading that in, that's when Turbo finds them and
That's
takes some
right.
shots at them. And so they fight Turbo, and he gets knocked back to the edge of a cliff,
Oh yeah.
and his boosters won't fire because it's so cold.
And Psycheel takes a wire harness.
Yeah, he like rips out part of the power cable that they're using to like charge up, and yeah, fries Turbo with it. And Turbo falls down Wile E. Coyote style to the
It goes on for a
bottom of the
while
ravine.
too.
Yeah, it took that was a like I said, that was an extended fall.
I was waiting for the what is the sound that they do on Star Wars movies where
Oh, the Wilhelm scream?
Wilhelm scream. I
Yeah.
expected that or like the but
Oh,
yeah,
the goofy yell when he falls?
he just but
Yo-ho-ho-hoo!
Turbo just falls for a while and you see a little puff and a crash. That's it.
Free
And
bird seed.
they show over a second with like ice crystals on them.
Oh yeah, he starts freezing up down there because he's in the bottom of this like canyon on
Yeah.
the cold, dark side of the prison moon.
Yeah, which if you if any people here are who are listening are people who are have an interest in space science. There are certain planets like her past way past Earth that the surface actually is gets warm enough, but the cold is in the crevasses or the ravines. So that is in a way, this is what's going on with the Gobitron. The crevasse here where he falls down is colder than the surface. So he was already cold up there,
We've got
I
a
think.
spot on the moon that's like that.
Oh,
That the
yeah.
sun never shines. It's down in like a pit. And yeah, it's colder than Pluto there.
Which is weird to think of that, but
Yeah.
that no light ever hits it. None.
Yeah, so it never gets warm and there's no atmosphere to insulate it or spread heat from other areas, so it just there's no convection. So
Yeah.
it just stays cold there. And this is one of those spots like that on
On
the
the
prison
moon.
moon of Gobatron.
I say Gobatron. Yeah, it's the prison moon. Yeah.
Yeah. And so Psykill, he blasts the power port that cable was connected to. And I guess it sends some kind of surge through the system and
Yeah.
blows out the main energy junction. So all the power fails on the prison moon and releases all the prisoners from their cells. All their energy bars go out. And you see Crasher and Copter and just everybody coming out of their cells. And I'm not sure if they're fighting guards in some spots. They could be fighting other prisoners too. It looks like it's just a full-on prison riot.
Yeah, it's exactly what it is. And this is why they put a prison moon. Now, they didn't put them on Gobatron because apparently their power, the way their power works is really bad.
Yeah.
They one shot into the matrix and it blows the entire
He
moon.
shot the prison moon's exhaust port.
Yeah, essentially, yeah.
He
He
Luke
did.
Skywalkered it.
Yeah, he didn't use his instruments, he used the force.
Yep. And here's the thing, I didn't quite catch where Psykill got his power pack back. He just
They didn't show it at all, but we can
so maybe
assume.
I would guess he had a backup in the ship.
That's a good point, way to put it. Yeah, he probably did. He would
If he's
have.
gonna put the ship there, then he probably knew they're gonna take away my power pack, so I'm gonna need a
Yeah.
backup. So
That's a good way to put it. That's likely what happened.
it's not shown on screen, but it makes sense. He's a planner. Now, I like the
Is.
line here when they're trying to take off in their ship, and it's another one of those little techno jargon lines, and he tells Fidor, "Don't come unsoldered. It'll start," talking about the bad shape of the ship. And
Yeah.
Psycho's like, "Don't come unsoldered. It'll start," and then they take off.
I almost missed that line too, but yeah. It was
So
like
yeah.
real quick, or like, like if you missed it, you missed it. It was just like a really quick line,
Oh
but it
yeah.
was great.
Oh, and as you were talking earlier about Smallfoot, when Smallfoot shows up, her eyes are missing.
I didn't notice that, so.
Yeah. So they didn't, because her eyes are usually seen behind her green visor.
Yeah.
And this one, she doesn't have it. So,
Nice.
yeah,
No.
there's not many animation errors, but it's just little things.
Yeah, they're there.
Yeah.
But I honestly though, compared to the season one Transformers animation errors, these are pretty small.
Oh yeah, they're minor.
They're structural, they're not integral.
Right.
So yeah,
It's
the
nothing that looks really silly or breaks the story.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So their stealth device apparently got kind of messed up by being astro beamed.
Yeah, which is weird. It's almost like the it's a transporter, like a Star Trek transporter.
And stealth devices don't like being transported.
Apparently not.
Yeah.
I always remember that for the first the Star Trek motion picture when the transporter was weren't working quite right.
Oh.
And someone got mutated in the beam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then so the stealth device keeps cutting out. So when the Guardians are detecting, Psykill's ship, it's
Yes.
kind of blinking in and out of radar. Like it'll disappear and then it's there and then disappear and it's there.
Yeah.
And they're like, and what was it? AJ saw and she's like, something weird is on the view screen.
Yeah. And so yeah, they take it off flight. There's also all kinds of yellow smoke in the cabin of the freighter they're taking out.
Yeah.
And Psycho's like, let's take it offline and fix it so we can go forth and get out of here.
And it coincided with the prison break.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
Wasn't
that
really
was,
noticed.
that was good timing.
Yeah.
So, Crasher, was it Crasher, Destroyer, and Copter
Thank you.
corner Scooter and Nick in the prison's control booth.
I could not remember Destroyer's name, so thank you so much.
Yes, Destroyer. And it was kind of cool when they first showed the prison control booth. There was this really neat looking generic in there. He looked kind of like Prima from Transformers from
Kind
the
of did,
back.
yeah.
But yeah, he was apparently just a generic robot in there. But he looked cool.
GoBot.
GoBot.
Yes. Let's keep it on
Well, he
theme.
may have just been a robot. He may not have been a GoBot.
Okay, I'll give you that. Yeah,
Yeah.
it was the horns.
Yeah, the one with the
Blue,
horns.
yeah, Blue
Yeah.
and had horns. It kind of, I was for some reason I was thinking like, is that part of the monstrous? He kind of had that same look, but yeah, it wasn't. He just looked like a blue horned robot.
Yeah, he was pretty cool looking. I
Who
want to
was
know
in
more
the?
about that guy.
Yeah, exactly. I pound with that toy. What was it? God, I'm blanking on the name of Monstrous's original name of Machine Robo is like Satan Six.
Oh yeah, Devil Satan 6.
Devil Satan Six. Man, I found that set. I really want it now just to have that name.
You just have a box with that name on.
Devil Satan Six.
It's metal, man. And I mean, they're made out of metal, so that's really metal.
Yep, but looking at my Monstrous up there, he's pretty heavy.
Don't
Haley.
let him fall on you, man. That could be that's a trip to the ER right there.
He really is. He's up on a higher shelf, and I got him positioned so he doesn't fall forward. He's kind of like leaning his arms back and stuff, so he's kind of balanced. But man, if we had something happen and he fell forward, I'd probably be knocked out in the middle of this. So
They're not
let's
doing
move.
any fracking near you, are they?
No. These quarries were closed down long ago.
Yeah. So
But
Crasher tries to use her shockwave stomp to get Scooter and Nick, and she forgets that her weapons are offline.
yeah, it's really kind of sad seeing her trying to do that. She hits the green spark
She
when
had a
she
little
does.
bit. She had a
Yeah, it
little
sparks
bit.
a little, once again, it reinforces my idea that it wasn't that they didn't have weapons. It's just like they didn't have the power to use their weapons.
Right. And I
So.
mean, like we saw previously with Leader One's like Christine healing, they are very dependent on their power sources.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So Scooter and Nick escaped through I guess it's like a ventilation shaft or something.
Yeah, Scooter.
A
Actually,
Jeffrey's tube.
yeah, Nick. Actually, Nick's the one that pulls
The
the
panel
screen.
off.
Yeah,
Yeah.
panel off. And they crawl in there. And they kind of start getting away.
So yeah, Crasher converts into her vehicle mode and starts chasing them.
Yeah, which I always love, Crasher hit her. I don't know. I would say diabolical, but her way.
Oh yeah, she's a go-getter. I like Destroyer's like, wait, make sure you bring them back alive. We're gonna need hostages because our weapons are off.
Destroyer is much more pragmatic than I gave him credit for.
Yeah, he's very strategic.
Yeah,
He's very military-minded.
which I guess makes sense that he's a green tank.
Yeah.
Crasher just like starts laughing, which is kind of her trademark. So,
It makes you wonder if she's maybe considered, well, there's a lot you can survive.
yeah. Survive. I hear you, and move on.
So yeah, then Leader One and Matt follow Turbo's distress signal and find him frozen, like he's completely encased in ice now at the
Right.
base of the canyon. And Leader One has to use his force field to warm him up. And
Which
Matt wants to hop out. Like he's eager to hop out. And Leader One's like, nah, you'd freeze instantly.
he's
If
like,
you.
no, dude. Dude, look, the crasher or I turbos encased in ice, you're not going out there.
Well, and with the presence of ice there and the fact that Matt could have jumped out without like a spacesuit on. So there is an atmosphere there.
Yeah. It seems like it
But.
should be.
Yeah, but it's just really cold on that side. So at least there's at least a thin atmosphere that I guess is breathable, but it's just really cold over there.
So that actually lends to the question of, does Gobitron orbit a star?
I haven't seen the star yet. I haven't seen any information on it, but I would
Yeah.
think they do.
You would think so. I mean, like we have the Cybertron and Transformers, it ends up being a rogue planet. So I'm kind of curious about Gobitron, if it's rogue planet, because we spoiler to future stuff. The Gobitron is like an apple core planet because the original Gobitron is in the center. They're trying to build out from that. So I'm kind of
It's
curious.
almost like a Dyson sphere around a planet.
It kind of is, actually. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
It makes me kind of wonder how. Okay, so
That means they're a type one civilization.
this is true. So I'm actually kind of curious because way our planet works, the way we have an atmosphere is that we have a magnetic field because our core is spinning. It works.
It's
It's a
liquid.
molten core that turns. Yeah, it basically. I kind of wonder if they have a magnetic field as well,
An artificial one, yeah.
or artificial one at least.
And Earth's magnetic field is actually very weak.
But it's enough that it keeps out like a lot of
Right, it keeps up the
those.
ionizing radiation from the
Yeah.
sun and stuff like that and creates our auroras.
Yeah.
But if, say, like Gobatron created their own magnetic field, it'd be easy for them to create a stronger magnetic field than what Earth has.
Well, sure.
So, yeah, it doesn't take much.
So it's kind of curious. I was wondering about that because the idea of them creating a magnetic field for the original small planetesimal compared to the larger one. If you look at the magnetic field, let's say of like Jupiter or Saturn, they're huge. They're gigantic magnetic fields. So I wonder if they were working on something to increase the magnetic field. So that magnetic field is there to do a lot of things, including keeping an atmosphere. So if they have a thin atmosphere, it would lend they have a magnetic field. So
Right. And I mean, they say, prison moon, but really it's a big space station.
oh, it totally is.
Yeah.
It's like Moonbase 1 and Moonbase 2 in Transformers the movie.
Yeah.
They're pretty solid. They're pretty big. So,
Yeah, I mean
anyways.
they're well built, and yeah, they were just built.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, sorry about that tangent. I was kind of curious.
Oh yeah, well I mean the lore is interesting to dig into, and I'd like to actually look that up. I'll look that up before the next episode and see what I can find out in the
There you
lore.
go.
If it's something that's going to be revealed in a future episode, I'll save it and just let you know that it's coming.
Yeah, because this is actually kind of nice where we're watching Transformers episodes. Ed's always the guy who doesn't know what's coming next. But I haven't watched GoBots since I was, 8 or 9 years old.
Yeah.
So this is a completely like almost like completely new thing to watch. I mean, you're
Yeah,
talking
and
almost.
I'm no GoBots expert. I like it and I've watched it here and there over time. I've
Yeah.
revisited it, but yeah, I don't have it all memorized. I'm
You've
not
seen
as
it more
good at it.
recently than I have.
Yes.
So there's that.
And so Scooter and Nick are still running from Crasher, and Scooter creates a hologram of a wall.
Yeah.
And they hide behind it like in a there's a hallway, and he makes it look like a solid wall, and Crasher just blows past them looking for him. And then they find a room that's full of deactivated robots. Like it's like a robot morgue in there, it looks like. Or it kind of is like the trash compactor from Star Wars in
It
there.
kind of is, actually.
Yeah.
Good way to
Or
put it.
trying to think, what was it? Wasn't there, yeah, there's room in Return of the Jedi with all like the broken robots and stuff in the back of Jabba's palace.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Or the interior of the Jawa Sandcrawler with all the droids kind of like laying around in there.
There was a really, I don't know if it was good, but years ago I read one of the Tales from Jabba's Palace books, and it was like little short stories, an anthology thing from all the different droids and stuff you see in there. It was really dark. Like there was a lot of sadomasochism with robots.
Oh yeah, Eve 99, she was mean.
Yeah. Not saying it was good, but it was funny to read that. I was hungry for some like fantasy fiction, and I picked that up and I devoured it. So, anyways.
I think if you get a chance, watch Skeleton Crew as soon as you can, because they've got some
Yeah.
good droid hijinks in there.
Oh, I should definitely check that out. I should watch that
Yeah.
when I go to the gym.
Nick Frost, I believe that's his name, from Shaun of the Dead.
Oh
Yeah, he does the voice of one of the droids on there, and
yeah.
he's great. But yeah, back to GoBots.
Yes, we could tangent
Yes.
all day.
So, yeah, they find this room, hide out from Crasher. Back in the command center, Turbo seems like he's doing better. Then all of a sudden, his temperature spikes and he passes out. And Rescue starts working on him, trying to figure out what's the matter.
Yeah, which I'm glad that he mentioned Rescue a few times because I did not remember the name of that GoBot, and I have him from when I picked up a lot recently. So Rescue, the
Hey,
android.
he's a solid figure.
Oh yeah,
Yeah.
he's a tank figure.
Yeah.
Hans Cuff is the same way too, by the way.
Yeah, they've got a lot of metal in them. And they've got a decent transformation. I mean, it's definitely
Yeah.
on par with like the smaller Transformers, like Wind Charger. He's got pretty much the same transformations like Wind Charger.
Except you have to turn his, you pull his legs out, turn them when they're like splayed out, and
Oh yeah.
pull them back
The
down.
Hans Cuff, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, he's got the same as Jeepers Creeper does that.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. But yeah,
Which,
I meant like Rescue. He does
oh
the leg
yeah.
flip with the arms just fold out.
Actually, it's kind of like first aid.
Yeah, actually, I definitely see
Yeah.
that. And his head pops out. Like his
Yeah.
head, slides in. So he's one of the few GoBots that his face is actually hidden in vehicle mode.
Which is nice. By the
Yes.
way, real quick, just so all you who are listening, hopefully, if you are Transformers fans and are like looking at us going like, why are you doing GoBots? Remember, GoBots are part of the Transformers IP now. So
Yes.
it's all gravy, man. You can like it all.
It's all one big family now.
Big love.
Yes.
Anyways.
So, Nick and Scooter, actually Nick's digging around and he finds this one weird robot face and just starts pulling on it. He really wants to see what's on. It's like a bionicle face almost or something.
Kind of is actually.
And it activates a teleportation beam from its eyes
Yep.
and it sends Nick and Scooter to the another
Moon
moon.
of
The
knowledge.
moon of knowledge. So yeah, there's at least two moons of Gobatron we found out about in this episode.
You'd think if they knew about the moon of knowledge, they would have gone there, but I kind of wonder if it's like a hidden moon or something.
Well, they knew what it was. Like Smallfoot knew what it was.
Oh, okay. I
Yeah.
missed that.
Yeah, well, that's when they detect Scooter's distress signal. But yeah,
Yeah.
but it's like a data archive moon.
Okay.
So
Maybe where they got sent to was more, I don't know, more centralized to whether they were going to, they were, should have learned from the where they hid.
well, they found a secret location there that no one had been able to access before, which was
Okay.
inside of the statue of the last engineer.
The last engineer who is really kind of cool. He has a very like the cloaked figure looking thing.
So at this point, because Crasher was beating down the door when they got teleported, and Destroyer calls her back because she sees they're not in there. She missed them. And he goes, oh, me and Copter found our weapons, and Crasher's like, never mind this. I'm coming for the weapons. In fact, she was real excited. Oh, weapons? Yeah, okay. And she quickly returned. So Nick and Scooter find they're trapped inside a doorless, windowless room full of data archives, and they're like little cubes with like
Yeah.
circuits and stuff on them.
Yeah, I was gonna say that they're a little data cube looking things. They're like the symbols and stuff on the side.
Yeah, and so Nick knocks one accidentally into a port and it starts playing basically like a news report. And it shows a organic humanoid that's giving basically a news report that rebel about rebel attacks.
The first renegade uprising.
Yes. And the big reveal is that GoBots used to be organic humanoids. So,
Dun
and we'll
dun
find out
dun.
later they're called Go Beings. This is before they were GoBots. They were called Go Beings.
Which, yeah, I get it. It's kind of simplistic, but I mean, this is made for us growing up, which I was like, eight when this, or actually
We call
seven or eight.
ourselves humans.
Yeah,
I
exactly.
mean, it's not like, what people call themselves is usually not very complicated.
Yeah.
It's usually pretty simple.
Human.
In fact, you find out like a lot of like different like indigenous tribe names. Their tribe name really is just the word in their language for people.
Yeah. That's actually pretty appropriate. That makes a lot of
Yeah.
sense.
So yeah, I mean, go beings is just what they call themselves. In fact, it's a little more complex than humans. Human.
Well, yeah, we're not being Ferengis and Klingons, but yes.
Yeah, we don't have the fancy names.
Oh.
So they're a little more like us in that regard too.
Yeah. The last engineer is just kind of cool. He looks like a D&D like wizard or priest or something.
Yeah, well, wasn't there was like some VHS game you could play and it had like a cloaked guy that would tell you, he was like a
Dude,
wizard. Yeah, you know what I'm talking
yes.
about? I forgot the name of that.
Atmosphere.
Yes, that was it. Yeah,
We
Fear,
played
FEAR. Yeah.
that at one point. My friend Charles and Matt and I were playing that, and he would like come on the VHS every so often and like mock you and
Yeah.
insult you. That was actually a lot of fun. I laughed
Anyway,
my butt
that's
off.
who the cloaked last engineer reminded me of.
He does.
It kind of had like a Empire Strikes Back version of Palpatine.
Oh my God, it all comes full circle now.
Yeah.
Atmosphere, Palpatine, the last engineer.
Right. So we find out that, and they find this data recording of the last engineer. He's
Yeah.
detailing how the Renegades launched an asteroid into Gobitron and caused an extinction-level event. And the last engineer was leaving for Antares 3, and he was trying to solve this problem because the Gobings were going extinct from it. And Scooter tells Nick that the last engineer saved their species by developing their Gobot bodies.
Yep.
So he's got a little bit of like Noonien Sung to him.
Little bit, yeah. I can see
Yeah.
that.
So he's kind of like the father of their entire species. And apparently, Renegades survived it too by becoming Gobots.
I mean, if you look at it this
Awesome.
way, like the Renegades weren't always Renegades.
Yeah.
I mean,
Well,
like,
they were Renegades, but they got the tech too somehow.
actually, yeah, if you look at it this way, they were they're all a spe same species, same kind of like people. But
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe
Yeah,
I
they weren't a different race at all or different
yeah.
species. They were all go beings.
Factions.
Yeah, they were different factions. And so, the Guardians blast their way through because they track down Scooter's distress beacon, which is driving Nick nuts, by the way. He doesn't like Scooter's distress beacon.
Yeah. Leader one just starts blasting. Is it Leader one and Smallfoot?
Yeah, they just like
They
all get
blast the
together.
wall. And like Leader one goes over and just kicks it down. Very
Yeah.
Arnold style.
And it was supposed to be there's a secret it to be solved, about I guess where the last engineer went if you could get inside. And nobody thought to just shoot their way in.
Yeah, I guess not. Maybe they didn't realize where it was and that this is kind of like because of where Scooter was, they zeroed in
Well,
on it.
it's a piece of artwork. You don't want to necessarily just trash it. You want to try to solve the puzzle. Yeah. Like when they burrowed into what was it, King Tut's tomb or whatever, and they ended up like destroying part of the like one of the murals. Yeah. So, you don't necessarily want to do it. You want to try to do it the right way so you don't destroy an ancient artifact. So the Guardians announced they're going to the
Very
Antares star system to try to find the last engineer because they're having trouble fixing Turbo. Turbo's gonna die. And they're hoping maybe their progenitor can figure out what he needs to save him.
it's a great little scene here where they're the Renegades are like trying to get to the command center. They're like, we need to get the take control of the command center and leave. And then like I think Crash as a copter looks on the screen like the command center is leaving, and it like backs out of the hole.
Oh yeah, they see him when they're leaving to go to the Moon of Knowledge.
Yes.
Yeah. And they see, yeah, their ship just left and they're like, well, I guess that's that.
But yeah, the whole
And then they
episode.
run over Cykill and Phytor.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
Because they're
They're
cloaked and they don't see them. They just kind of smack them. They survive, but they get
like
spun out.
leader one's like straight ahead, full power, and like Phytor and Cycler are like, uh-oh. They try to get out of the way and they get clipped or something. And
Yeah.
AJ says something like, oh, it must have been like a small meteorite or something.
Yeah, they feel a bump and they're like, what was that? Nothing, just keep going.
Yeah, pretty much.
And well, when they announce that they're going to the Antares star system, Cykill and Phytor pick up the message, and Phytor tells Cykill, and so they, oh, well, they're gone. Well, let's go back to the moon and pick up our comrades. So they're going back for the rest of the Renegades now. So Cykill doesn't always abandon his people,
Well,
and
he also,
he tries to go back.
I think in a way he sees an opportunity here.
Oh yeah, it's open. It's safe to go get them.
Yeah.
Which maybe his original plan was to get to Rogue Star and come back a Rogue Star.
Yeah, which I'm sure I haven't seen this point like in years, so I'm sure the Rogue Star is going to show up, and we're going to have a ship full of Renegades.
Yeah, I really wish they would have made a set for Rogue Star, because that was a really awesome design.
It was actually really cool.
I want one now. I want someone to make like a third party Rogue Star that I can put all my GoBots in.
I guarantee you someone has, we just can't afford it.
Right. Well, with 3D printers, what they are now, maybe we can all have a Rogue Star. It'd look good on your wall back there.
It would. Everyone listen up. If you make a Rogue Star, I could hang it right from here, give you full credit. Just saying. But
Yes.
anyways.
Anyway, so that's where this episode kind of leaves off.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it wraps up nicely from the original miniseries and takes us on a new direction, which is kind of cool. I like that.
Yeah, it picks up where everything closed off from the last series and opens it all right back up.
One thing right off the cuff here, it does a better job of continuing the show or the series better than Transformers did, because Transformers, they were ready to go back to Cybertron, everything was gonna be great. And here, they weren't going to go back to Cybertron. They're just gonna like, I guess, try the Renegades and Cykill for what their crimes against GoBots. And it's a smooth transition.
Yeah, they actually there's better continuity.
Much better continuity.
And I mean, just like the way season one was supposed to end in Transformers also, where all the
Oh yeah.
Decepticons were like sinking in the lava in Heavy Metal War, and there's
Yep.
just nope, they're all out. They just show back up, no problem.
Yeah, I'm not saying it was good. But yeah, we can like both shows. We can like many
Yeah.
shows.
Oh
It's okay.
yeah, I love them both, but I mean, each series has its own strengths, and GoBots seemed much better at keeping continuity, even though they had the same problem as Transformers of getting the episodes out in order.
Yeah, majorly. This is like what, episode 42?
Yeah, episode 42, when it should have been number six.
Yeah. So there's
So, and that really had to do, I think, with the arms race between the two series.
Oh yeah, totally. They want to get things out as fast as possible.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I'm
And they were lagging behind by the time they got to this part of the series. Like, there was a big gap between the miniseries and this episode. Yeah, like
see that.
months. So,
Yeah. So yeah, anyways, it's a fun episode. This is like good. It feels like it didn't even leave the original miniseries. Of course, we don't have Braxis, but that's okay because no one likes Braxis.
right. Well, I mean, who needs Braxis when you got Dr. Go?
Actor, go, man.
Right. And another thing this episode reminded me of was in Desertion of the Dinobots Part 2, where Swoop, Carly, and Spike find the data disks down in the
Kind of is
depths of
like that, yeah.
Cybertron.
Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah.
And they get ancient records, about how the Cybertronian War started. So, it's hard to miss those tropes with these two series that, have so many similarities.
Yeah, actually, it makes a lot of sense. It does work out really well that way.
And I think that's why, in the Transformers lore, they basically made it out like in the multiverse, Gobatron is another version of Cybertron. Like, they're both kind of multiversal counterparts.
Which honestly, they feel more like the Hive and Nebulon than they feel like more like a Transformers planet. Which so if you guys need to know anything about the Nebulon and the Hive, please join the Discord, email us, or whatever you need to do. I'd like to explain it to you guys. And it feels more like that though, the organic
Yeah.
ore.
Oh, I was gonna say, yeah, definitely organic origins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it's also very much like robotics in the same way.
Well, that's another thing they do is the planet from Robotics apparently is now considered another multiversal counterpart to Cybertron.
Which makes complete sense.
And if you follow the IDW GoBots comics, Cybertron is actually a multiversal seed from Gobatron. Like Gobatron seeded other like Gobatrons in other universes, and Cybertron was one of them.
The I guess the fan fiction is possibilities are endless.
Oh yeah, well this was official.
No, that was official, but I mean like talking like using that as a go point from
Oh yeah.
fan fiction.
Well, and the I don't know, did you ever read the IDW comics for GoBots?
I did not for the GoBots.
Oh, well, we'll have to cover that then. I don't want to spoil it. But yeah, there's some major like repercussions for the Transformers universe from the GoBots comic.
IDW stuff was pretty rough. Like
Oh
as far,
yeah.
not bad. It was like pretty rough. It was like real world factors.
Oh yeah. And there was a lot of brutality in the comic.
Yes.
Yeah. I know I've showed you some little excerpts from it. But I mean, just like we've discussed before, the rooms in the command center of the toy, you know,
Yeah.
were a little brutal themselves.
They were. Was pretty bad.
Oh yeah, but this is a nice opening to a new chapter.
Yeah, it feels like it actually.
It picks pretty much right up where the miniseries left off, so we're not left guessing like how did we get here?
Yeah, that's good though because it feels very disjointed if we went like as per air date,
Yeah.
which Transformers falls into that problem a lot. So going at it this way is a really nice way to kind of look at it, like a nice way to approach it. So that's really nice. So I appreciate you kind of steering me on the up and up and the way forward with this.
I thought it'd be more fun to watch it this way.
Yeah.
And I really wish Transformers would have done more of this, where even if there was a reference back to, you know, what was in the previous season, to
Yeah.
kind of bridge them a little better. Instead, you know, we got like Autobot Spike just out of nowhere after, you know, Decepticons taking a lava bath.
Autobot Spike's so good though. Dad.
Dad, I'm a monster.
I'm gonna watch Frankenstein.
Yeah, that's just Wheeljack being a jerk.
He's such a jerk. Yeah, let's watch the movie called Frankenstein. Dad. Anyways, so thanks everyone for checking us out, listening to the podcast. If you would like to send us an email at morethemeatsteaksguys@gmail.com. Join the Discord. I will put the link in the show notes. And do what Jacqueline does, Crasher in 1882 does. Give us some comments in the YouTube. I love kind of talking with the comments there and interacting.
Oh yeah, she helps steer us in the right direction on some stuff too, and
Oh yeah,
you know,
totally.
gives and we love hearing opinions different than ours, because like I said, we're feeling our way through this series again. So
And I gotta say that Jacqueline, I feel like she was kind of like testing me how I saw Crasher. But the thing I like about Crasher, like a lot of other characters in these series, is all of them, is they're not one dimensional. There's more going on. There's ideas of loyalty, ideas of doing the right thing or doing things right for the situation. So yeah, devotion, that sort of thing. So I really like that. And it doesn't just work with Transformers, which we are, we put a lot of effort into Transformers, but GoBots too, G.I. Joe, obviously,
Yeah.
all that. It all works together really nicely. So thanks for checking us out. Jacqueline, thanks for the comments and the friendly words. And thanks for the Facebook group, I Love GoBots. Y'all, I'll take a great week off here. Well, not week off, a week to enjoy the episode. And we'll be back next week with another episode. Working, I don't know the episode's name. What is it again? Next one.
Oh, the next one. Let me see. I don't have them all memorized yet. We have Quest for the Creator.
Which is a really cool idea for like a origin story. So
Right.
we're gonna learn more about the last engineer, the quest for the creator. And so y'all take it easy. Have a great week. Thanks for being here and thanks for checking us out. And subscribe to the channel. Give us a like, a thumbs up, give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. We appreciate everything. Seriously. This is a labor of love. And we
It's
just
fun. It's too.
fun.
I
It's
mean,
fun doing this. This gives me a nice outlet for the week. This is like when Boo and I would play PS4 all night. This is like the same kind of like the level, except we get to interact with people that we've never met, and maybe one day will, but at this
it's a
point.
little more relaxing too from gaming because there's a lot of frustration in gaming. This isn't
Yeah.
just pure enjoyment.
Exactly. We just hang out, talk about things, and we hope that you guys, gals, everyone in between, bots, are and understanding that the kind of idea that we want to put forth with just hanging out and talking about stuff. I'd like to one day do some live streaming with people who are following the channel. So if
Oh, that'd be
y'all.
cool.
Yeah, it'd be great. I'd like to do something like that. Maybe we can do like the Rock Lords movie with live streaming. So
Oh, yeah.
yeah, it's something like that. It'd be really cool. I want to do that with I want to do that with the Transformers 1986 movie, and we can do the Rock Lords movie. So that's kind of my vision for the future. So please join in, say hi. Let's get going with this. And thanks for being here this week. Y'all take it easy, and Boo, I will see you later.
Bye.
Bye.